This is Girl with a Podcast. My life basically revolves around watching Bravo and drinking alcohol. I'm the modern day Bridget Jones if she was Jewish and not annoying. No, seriously, if sitting on your couch was an Olympic sport, I would win gold. Hey everyone, welcome back to Girl with the Podcast. Sorry about the hiatus. I was super sick last week. My voice sounded super weird. I'm still a little sick, so I'm a little nasally. Just try and get past it because I have so much to say that I could not miss another week of Girl with the Podcast, and I know you guys couldn't live without it either. LOL. Welcome. Hope everyone had a good couple weeks. So much to discuss today. Like, it's crazy. We're obviously going to talk about The Bachelor because although it was a 1 hour episode, I have so much to say. We're going to do Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We're going to dissect the Dancing with the Stars cast. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be great as per usual. Thank you guys again for the constant love and support. Love you guys for just subscribing. As always, email me, tweet me, text me, whatever. Actually, don't text me. If you have anything to say about The Bachelor, not The Bachelor, well, you could text me if you have anything to say about The Bachelor, but anything about the podcast, who I'm going to be doing different segments, who I'm going to have on specific guests. I'm working super hard on locking in amazing guests for the next couple weeks. Today, it's just me. I hope I can suffice for everyone. Very, very exciting times. I want to dive right in to talk about The Bachelor because, like I said, one hour episode gave us so much to talk about. I kind of wish it was 1 hour every week, because 2 hours seems excessive. Next week is 3 hours. I don't even know how I'm going to handle that, but let's jump right in.
Coming up on the most dramatic episode in Bachelor history.
So last week's episode was a little bit of a cliffhanger. We saw someone knocking on Nick's door. We obviously knew who it was because Us Weekly spoils everything for everyone. And yes, it was Andy Dorfman. For those new Bachelor alums, some backstory is Andy was the Bachelorette maybe 3 years ago, and Nick came in second. She, before the final rose ceremony, she just went up to his room, knocked on his door, and said, you know, my feelings for Josh, who was just on Bachelor in Paradise with Amanda Stanton, are stronger, and she sent him home for the last final time, which wasn't a big deal. But then after the final rose, they brought Nick out to talk to Andy, and he was like, why did you have sex with me if you didn't love me? Which was like, what the fuck are you doing? And that's like the number one deep-rooted reason that I hate Nick. Like, who the hell says that to a girl? Like, I don't know. It's just like was a very sour taste in my mouth. I think it left a sour taste in everyone's mouth. That's what kind of gave Nick this like nasty reputation as to why now he's the Bachelor and ABC is trying to clean up his act, which you all know I'm not buying. But anyways, let's talk about Andy. So she comes in, she looks so different. She definitely got lip fillers because like the bottom half of her face doesn't move. The beginning of the conversation is so awkward. They both are like making weird faces. They have nothing to say. And I can tell all Andy's thinking, Andy just wrote a book and it was a New York Times bestseller. And the only reason she did this had to have been for the publicity. So she's probably thinking to herself, just get through this conversation. You'll sell a lot of books. Of course she mentioned the book, like good for her. Whatever, businesswoman, her feminist brand, yada, 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 whatever. Let's keep in mind that while Andy and Nick are having this totally useless, dumb conversation, there are four beautiful women standing in the freezing cold New York winter weather with a dress on, and he's just casually sitting up there waiting, talking to Andy, having a whiskey, while these women are like nervous that they're going home, they're freezing their tits off, they're probably starving, they've probably been sitting out there literally since 5 o'clock in the morning. Come on, Nick, be considerate. Let's move some things along. And speaking of the women standing outside, why the hell don't they just have rose ceremonies inside? All the women are wearing gorgeous dresses. Can we talk about Corinne's outfit for a second? Like, high slit dress, fur coat. She looked so chic, like she knew she was going home. It's like what you wear to your ex's funeral. I was very proud of her for how she handled herself. We'll get to that in a second. But back to the stupidity that is outdoor rose ceremonies, especially in places like New York, while Nick is sitting upstairs in a warm hotel room with his ex. I feel like if any of the women actually knew what was going on, like Vanessa, that entitled bitch, if she knew she was standing outside in the freezing cold while the man she loved was upstairs having a drink with his ex, she would have blew a fucking lid, that entitled motherfucker. So poorly done, Mike Fleiss. Like, let the women stand inside. I know the point of The Bachelor is to mentally torture all the contestants so they go crazy, but this seems really excessive. Anyways, back to Andy. I'm actually so proud of her for just saying, are you sorry? Do you feel bad about publicly embarrassing me on TV and slut-shaming me? And I didn't really get the response I was looking for from Nick. He said he was sorry, but he was like, I'm sorry that you were embarrassed. Like, that's not an apology. Saying to someone, I'm sorry that you were hurt. No, I'm sorry that I did something that made you hurt. That's like the fakest apology. And it's what I tend to do when someone's mad at me and I just don't really give a shit. So happy that Andy kind of said what we were all thinking. A little disappointed in Nick's reaction, but what do you expect from Nick? Literally the worst bachelor of all time. Anyways. Rose ceremony time. So emotional. He says goodbye to Andy. They leave on a pretty good note. He goes downstairs, and it was a pretty quick rose ceremony, which is why I'm grateful it was a one-hour episode. We didn't have any of this filler. He's like, the next rose goes to... Dun, 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 dun. This is such a tough decision for me, you know? I have four great women, and I have one rose, and I just don't know what to do. Nick, what are you going to do with your final rose, says Chris. And we're waiting, dilly-dallying. Oh, dun-dun music. No, none of that shit. Because it's a one-hour episode, he says the final rose goes to Vanessa. Thank you. I think we all pretty much knew Corinne was going home. Very impressed with how far this girl made it. Without a one-on-one, with being the villain, with being a little bit crazy. Wow. She has truly transformed the Bachelor franchise. I think she might be the most interesting, dynamic, and funny character to ever be on The Bachelor. And I'm not just saying that because she's my friend. I think everyone pretty much agrees with that. But, like, how sad was she when he was walking her out? She just, like, couldn't stop crying. That just, I don't know, it's just proof of, like, how she really wasn't a bad person. And she didn't have bad intentions. And when I spoke to her, she really did have very strong feelings for Nick. So I just thought it was, like, so cute and sad when she just, like, started hugging him and was saying sorry if she did anything to upset him. Like, what a nice girl. And then she got in the car and she said probably the smartest, most intelligent thing anyone on The Bachelor has ever said. And she's like, you know what? I'm sick of trying to impress men. I'm sick of trying to prove to men that I worship them. Like, it was such a show that degrades women. It was such an empowering feminine moment that I really enjoyed. And of course, it came from Corinne. Like, how could it not? She's literally a feminist leader of our generation. And I don't think we could have expected Corinne to leave in any other way than this. Her final words. Are we ready, everyone? Are we ready? I'm done showing my men how much I worship them. I'm done trying to impress these men. I'm going to be me. I will never, ever kiss up to a man ever again in my life. I want to go to sleep. Oh, like, what more could we have asked for from an exit of Corinne? She did not disappoint this entire season. Her exit was meaningful, empowering, but also funny because, of course, what else would Corinne do other than take a nap? Nothing. The answer is nothing. Corinne, I just want you to know how much, as a viewer, I've appreciated watching you. As a friend, I've appreciated your loyalty. Just thank you for bringing life to a season that lacked so much. I think it's so obvious that none of these women are in love with Nick. Not one of them. Maybe Raven, maybe. But the season would be nothing without Corinne. What would we be talking about? What on God's green earth would Jimmy Kimmel be talking about today if he didn't have Corinne? You are a breath of fresh air, a nice, just funny, satirical character on a show that takes itself so seriously. So you will be missed. I know you're going to do amazing things, Corinne. And having said that, I bid you adieu. You are out. A wiedersehen. Next up, the women are off jet-setting again on ABC's dime. This time they're going to Finland, which is very cool, very trendy place. The Kardashians went there. They saw the Northern Lights. And something that I loved is that they really never show the contestants or the Bachelor or Bachelorette on the plane. And if you listened to my podcast last week, you know that Olivia Caridi gave us really good insight on when the women travel. They all travel together, the producers, Chris Harrison, the Bachelor, the Bachelorette, and all the contestants. Everyone except for Chris Harrison and The Bachelor sit in first class. So they showed Nick literally like chilling in first class, looking out the window. And I just love how they didn't even show like all the women like squashed in the back in economy. It's just hilarious. And I felt so special because I got the insight from Olivia Caridi before everyone else did. Ha ha ha. Does Finland remind anyone else of the movie Frozen? Like the characters, the way that it looks? I couldn't help but like wait for Nick to just be like, let it go, let it go. That would have been a much better episode if you ask me, but nobody did ask me, so whatever. Let's talk about Raven's one-on-one, which was the entire episode. I kind of liked how they like broke it up. Raven is a sweetheart. Nick is so undeserving of someone so kind and so genuinely sweet. But of course, she's like totally in love with Nick. Can't wait to tell Nick that he loves her. Use the L word. They go on a very cute date to like a pub where they're playing darts and they meet these locals who totally, by the way, of Frozen, remind me of like citizens of Arendelle who just like go to the pub and play darts. They have a really sweet date. It takes a super weird turn when she starts talking about her ex because I feel like they did not stop talking about her ex the entire date and how he didn't give her orgasms. And that was just really uncomfortable for me because I've been watching The Bachelor for a really long time. And back in the day when ABC still had some of its integrity, the fantasy suite wasn't synonymous with sex. They would give them this room card and they would spend the night together. They never used the sex word. It was just like, well, do you want to have your own room, or, you know, you want to go in this room together. And it was always implied that they were having sex, but it was never so outright sex, orgasm, fucking. Like, it was just disgusting. And I didn't really like how it's so degrading to all these women that they're all having sex with the same guy. And she's talking about how she's never had an orgasm and she hopes Nick gives her one. Like, I just thought it was really tacky and kind of gross and not really in line with what they usually do. And usually it's just, it's implied, it's inferred, you know, as a viewer, we kind of assume. But it was just all in our face this time. And I kind of missed, I longed for the days where we weren't bombarded with images of Nick giving Raven her first orgasm. Is that so wrong? No, it's not wrong, Claudia. You're entitled to your opinion. Thank you, Claudia. Okay, so obviously Raven takes the key because, like, who wouldn't? The only person I think in Bachelor history to not take the room card was Emily Maynard Johnson, who was literally an angel from God and would do no wrong. And she's like, listen, I'm a nice girl. I'm traditional. I'm not going to have sex with you. So she took the room key, but, like, they literally sat on opposite sides of the couch the whole night and talked. And obviously she won because she was the best thing to ever happen to Bachelor Nation. But I digress. If you have some time on Amazon Prime, I encourage you all to kind of go out and watch all the seasons, especially Emily Maynard, because she won The Bachelor but then became The Bachelorette, and she was just divine. I heard a rumor that she had the most expensive wardrobe budget of any bachelorette in history, and you could tell. Literally all of her clothing is just divine, and it's designer. And I'm really getting off track. I'm really sorry. To wrap up this episode, Raven and Nick have sex. I'm curious to see next episode if she, like, yeah, Nick gave me a big orgasm. Like, the thought of that makes me want to throw up. Good episode. I really wish The Bachelor would keep episodes to an hour. I feel like we saw the same amount of drama, the same amount of everything in the 1 hour episode as we would in a 2 hour, but they just didn't have all that dumb filler that drives me crazy. Next week is 3 hours. I need to mentally prepare myself. Plus, it's Women Tell All. I don't know how I'm going to survive with so much TV. It's going to take over my entire life, but I'm so excited for Women Tell All because I spoke to Corinne and she said it's really good. So that's it for Bachelor Recap this week. Whoop, whoop. All right, well, you know what that sound means. We're dissecting this week's episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which was, it was okay. It felt like a really short episode. Not that much happened. Ken cried, which was wild, and we'll talk about it. Not that great of an episode. The volcanic eruption I was hoping for at the end of the episode didn't quite satisfy me as much as it should have, but we'll talk about it. Let's start with just Erica Jane, of course, because she is truly friends with everyone. Like, she goes to Eileen's house, practices Y&R, she rides in the car with Lisa, even though Lisa's the devil. Like, it's admirable what kind of friend she is, really, to everyone. And she's has this unique way of being completely uninvolved in the storyline. Like, she's not a part of the Kim Kyle Richards alcohol debacle. Meanwhile, she's the most important character in the show. Do you know what I mean? So she's not heavily involved. She doesn't have a hand in any of the arguments, but she's still a main character. I think that's a really admirable characteristic that she has. And I want to take a moment to just talk about that, you know? Anyways, she goes to Eileen's house, super cute, practicing for Y&R. She really is a very good actress. And I'm with Vinny. I want to manage her. I could totally see her being like the next NeNe Leakes. She was on Glee, and then she had the New Normal, and then she was on Broadway. I really think this is the start of something really beautiful for Erica Jane. So that was a cute little scene. Then we cut to, I mean, there can't be an episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills without something about the Yulin Dog Festival, which I'm sympathetic to, but that's definitely like a thing in Lisa Vanderpump's contract. Like, there has to be at least 30 seconds in every episode dedicated to talking about the Yulin Dog Festival and Lisa's work on exterminating it. But it was cute. Her and Ken are with this real estate agent. They're looking at this, like, piece of property to have one of their shelters in, and they start telling this real estate agent about the Yulin Dog Festival. And truly, like, I'm sympathetic, but this agent could not care less about the Dog Festival and Lisa's work in Congress and getting the U.S. government behind stopping China's Yulin Dog Festival. Like, this guy is just standing there, and he's like, cool, ? Ken then starts to cry, which was, it was emotional. It was kind of bizarre how, like, he wasn't, I thought in the previous weeks they've been, like, leading up to this moment of Ken crying, and I'm like, ooh, what prompted him? What provoked him? Like, why is he crying? And, like, nothing really provoked him, just, like, talking about it. Then he, like, sucked his tears up and stopped. I like a man who can cry. Lisa Vanderpump and Ken are, like, slowly turning into one person. They're, like, starting to look alike, and they just cry about the same things, which was not to make fun of it, because, like, it is sad, but I don't know. It was just bizarre. One thing I really liked about this episode is usually, like, there's an important event at every episode and where, like, the eruption happens, and they put it in, like, the last 5 minutes, which is annoying. But this week's episode, which was the big eruption, was going to be at Kyle's house for Carney Wilson's event, which was weird. We'll talk about in a second. It was, like, the whole episode, which I love. Like, I like that we actually got to see a long, thorough discussion of what everyone's problems are, probably because everyone was kind of involved in this, that they made it an important thing. Let's talk about Carney Wilson. Like, I don't really understand how her and Kyle are friends, and now she's, like, a baker, and I didn't even know she was an alcoholic, and I was just upset because, like, nobody's saying Hold On by Wilson Phillips the entire time, and, like, that was upsetting for me because I was expecting a rendition. I was expecting the band to get back together, but Carney actually was great. She's really funny, and I could actually see her being a housewife. Like, I would not be mad if Carney was a housewife. She's very smart. She's grounded. Like, she was in control of the conversation about the alcoholism because she had a personal stake in it. I don't know. I really enjoyed having her around. She was a grounding force for a lot of the ladies. My favorite part of these events, like, literally Kyle Richards threw a party just so everyone could talk about, like, the alcoholism enabler situation. So my favorite part is, like, everyone gets to the party, and before they have the actual fight, there's just, like, awkward side conversations. Everyone's saying hi to each other. So the best part was Eden Sassoon sitting down with Carney Wilson and Kim Richards and being like, would you ladies like some tuna tartare? And everyone was like, no. It's just so funny. Like, that little pitter-patter gives me life. I love it. One thing I have to say is Lisa Rinna is actually very smart. She's a master manipulator. Her having the foresight to bring Kim Richards a baby gift for her granddaughter was brilliant. I wish I could be that smart and manipulative in my own personal social life. I feel like it would really, like, behoove me to be that nuts. So I just thought that was, like, a really smart thing for her to plan to do. And I like how just Lisa Rinna, like, she acts like she's senile. For weeks, she's been like, I don't remember. And then she's like, Erica, I remember. I said it all. It just kind of slipped my mind. Are you senile? I know you do Depends commercials, but, like, come on, Lisa Rinna. By the time the actual fight gets started, there's only, like, 10 minutes left in the episode, but I feel like it was a really productive kind of conversation. Lisa Rinna admitted to everyone that she's a piece of shit and did actually say those things and really blamed Eden Sassoon for it, who I believe to be the victim in all of this. Kim and Kyle are on the right side, except when it comes to Eden Sassoon. They're right. Lisa Rinna says things, apologizes, and moves on. She's horrible. She says awful things about people and their families. You're 100% right, Kim and Kyle. But to blame Eden for repeating it, I happen to think Eden, as weird as she is, has really, really good intentions. And when Lisa Rinna told her that this girl, who she knows pretty well, is on the verge of death, her sister's enabling her, she lost a sister. Her first instinct is to help. And so we thought she was being weird when she was actually just being really genuine and trying to be helpful, and it came off really weird. And Lisa Rinna completely threw her under the bus. So Kim and Kyle, I understand your frustrations, but I really feel like they should be directed more towards Lisa Rinna than Eden. And Lisa Vanderpump said that, but Lisa Vanderpump hates Lisa Rinna so much that she doesn't seem like she's coming from a real place of honesty and genuineness. But she is. Actually, no, I disagree. She's not. I disagree with myself. Lisa Vanderpump's not coming from a real place when she says Eden Sassoon is not to blame, but Eden Sassoon is not to blame. Does that make sense? So while I'm on the Richard sides in this particular situation, one thing that I think Kim said that was really not nice was bringing up Eden's sister. I just think Eden's kind of the victim in all of this. She really didn't do much. She was trying to be helpful. And it really didn't seem like Kim and Kyle were being super compassionate about her sister. Like, her sister died. Like, let's put the stupid shit aside for 1 second and be compassionate human beings. And I kind of felt bad for her. And if that was me, I probably would have walked away. But Eden didn't. I don't really know what Eden's goal is being on the show. She, like, really doesn't say much, but she really gets herself involved in these, like, terrible, awful conversations. But number one, most VIP, not VIP, I can't even speak English today, most MVP moment of the entire fight was they're talking about, you know, their sisters, alcoholics, how it's so hard to be an alcoholic. And Erica, who's completely uninvolved, just goes, I'm going to be an alcoholic by the time this shit is over. Just like, I just said, she's involved in this fight for 1 second, and she says the most brilliant, fucking funny, amazing thing ever. Like, we need more Erica Jane. I just need an entire show dedicated to Erica Jane. And I can't. Like, she's the best. Oh, my God. Like, such a... whatever. Moral of the story is that this is what I learned from this week's episode. Erica Jane is even better than I thought she was. Carney Wilson would actually make a great housewife. She's a very grounding force, and her cheesecakes looked like shit. Okay, another show I really want to talk about is Dancing with the Stars. I don't really watch this show, but I appreciate it, and I'm always really curious, like, who they choose for the different seasons, and a lot of good people this season, so I kind of want to go through the roster of people that I find to be, like, important or whatever, because there's really good ones this season. So the first one I want to talk about is Nick Vile. Everyone knows he's The Bachelor. And the only reason I really care, like, I'm upset because I thought the season was over and we'd finally be done with this guy. Like, he's just everywhere and he keeps getting opportunities and he's so undeserving. He's not funny. He's not even that cute. He's not smart. He's not, I just don't think he's anything. And I'm just, like, disappointed in his casting. But the reason why I really do want to talk about it is because there's some shade going on Twitter that I have to tell you about. So everyone knows Nick just got cast in Dancing with the Stars. And if you don't know this, Caitlin Bristow, who was a personal friend and The Bachelorette a couple seasons ago, she's a professional dancer. Like, that was what she did before The Bachelor. And I guess one of her dreams was to be Dancing with the Stars. And so when the news came out that Nick was cast, she took to Twitter and kind of blew shit up. So somebody tweeted, "Why does The Bachelorette never get this gig at ABC? I wanted to see Caitlin Bristow shake her tail feather," which I think is something we all kind of wanted. She was a dancer. It seemed like a good fit. And Caitlin replied and was like, "Actually, I was offered it, had the contract, and Mike Fleiss told me I wasn't allowed. He said he didn't want people wanting fame after his show," smiley face. Funny, one, because if you don't know, Mike Fleiss is the producer of The Bachelor. He's the creator of the show. Second, it's funny, he didn't want people wanting fame after his show. Lol. Andy Dorfman literally wrote a New York Times bestseller. Just so stupid. Which is just mean, because, like, she is the one who... she's a dancer. Like, if anyone should be on the show, it should totally be her. And she is just, like, blowing up on Twitter. And Mike Fleiss responded and was like, "Caitlin Bristow has my total support if she wants to appear on Dancing with the Stars." Okay. Caitlin goes, "Thanks. I'll get right on that opportunity 2 years ago. I wonder what changed your mind." Eek. I don't know. I'm just loving Caitlin. She's so funny. I feel like she, The Bachelor, like, producers, ABC doesn't use her as much as they should. Her and Sean are an amazing couple. They love each other. They're going to be together for a really long time. Why wouldn't they want to embrace her? And she's so funny. Whatever. I just thought that was funny. If you didn't know that little tidbit, now you do. Normani from Fifth Harmony is going to appear. She's another. She's with Val Kramerkovsky. Got it. She's Normani Cordai. She's from Fifth Harmony. She's like one of the, not like my favorite, but she should be good. I feel like that's like kind of unfair because she is like a dancer. She choreographs all of her shows. She's a dancer. So she's going to make it really far. I don't feel like Nick's going to make it super far because, like, I don't remember the last time he danced. Someone I'm super excited about is Nancy Kerrigan. If you're young, you probably don't know who she is. But I saw this documentary that I feel like everyone should watch. It's called The Price of Gold. It's an ESPN 30 for 30. And it's a story of Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan. They were both American Olympic skaters. And, like, it was like, who's going to win? Nancy or Tanya. And it was like, Nancy was like this girl from, you know, New England. And she was pretty and had pearly white teeth. And Tanya Harding, like, grew up in the mean streets. They were just like total opposites of each other. And Tanya Harding actually and her fiance had, I don't know if it was them who did it or they had someone attack Nancy Kerrigan and broke her legs. It's a crazy, you should, and now they're making a movie about it. Margot Robbie's playing Nancy. No, she's playing Tanya Harding. Watch the documentary if you're going to watch Dancing with the Stars. It's super interesting. Simone Biles is going to be on it. She also, I feel like, has an unfair advantage. Same with Nancy Kerrigan. Like, they're dancers, they're skaters, like, they choreograph. It's part of their everyday life. So they're going to make it way further than any NFL star is going to. You know, I feel like that's an unfair advantage. Do you agree? Same with Heather Morris. She's from Glee. She's a classically trained dancer. She's going to make it super far. I loved her in Glee. I'm really happy that she's going to, like, make a comeback because I don't really know what happened to her. She, like, fell off the face of the earth. But I'm happy for her that she's making this comeback. She's totally going to go really far. And then, obviously, the only person I can think about and she has to win is Erica Jayne. She's a dancer. She performs. She's a singer. Like, she is going to absolutely kill it. I can't wait to see her outfits. Even her promotional photo with her her partner, Gleb, is beyond. Like, her outfit's amazing. Her thighs look amazing. She's tan. Like, she, if she doesn't win, I'm literally going to be upset. But she's the only reason I'm going to watch this season. I've never watched before, but I'm going to watch because it's going to be divine. Okay, that's all I got for you guys. I know this week's episode was kind of short, and I'm working on making the episodes longer. I'm just super sick, and I really can't breathe, and I have, like, all this saliva and snot coming out of my mouth and nose, respectively. So I'm really sorry. I love you guys so much. Again, tweet me, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, @girlwithnojob if you have anything to say about the podcast, but only if it's positive, because I really can't deal with any negativity in my life right now. I bid you adieu. Bye.